The 48th commencement exercises of the University of Alaska will open with the presentation of colors. After the colors are posted, the invocation will be given by the Reverend E.L. Baker. The audience will please rise and remain standing through the invocation.
Our Heavenly Father, in the quietness of this moment, we lift our hearts to you and ask for your blessings upon the exercise of this day. We thank you, Lord, for the many hours of sacrifice and labor that have gone into the planning and the culmination of this day. We thank you for these graduates and for what they have already meant to this world and for what they can mean in the future. We just pray for them this day. We express our joy and happiness in being a part of this commencement exercise. We thank you for loved ones and friends who have come, and we share with them their joy. We just pray that you might look down upon us this day in the needs of our own hearts and the needs of our community and our world, and that some one of these or many of these may go out from this place and truly be a blessing to all of mankind. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome to the 48th commencement of the University of Alaska. For strength, look to the mountains of Alaska, snow-mantled, serene, majestic, bold thrusting toward the sky. This land, abode of giants, an ancient land not new to man, vast, untamed, perilous, and lovely beyond all yearning. Far off, massive ranges loom blue dark behind the haze. The Aleutian, the Brooks, the Chugach, the Endicott, the Nonpareil, Alaska. Morning sun, our glow before the night spreads along the crest. Soft in shadow, sharp relief in light. Touched with mystery and with glory. Yes, with glory. Saddle and tar compel belief. Good is good. True is true. The beautiful is beautiful. God is among, above the crags, and here. St. Elias, Edgecombe, Fairweather, Spur, Foraker, Wrangell, Veniaminoff, Trident, Talkeetna, Sitkin, Kilbuck, Hunter, Drum, Ormanzoff, Deborah, Hess, and Hayes. Shouldering the great north sky, these and a myriad more quietly affirm the rugged strength and promise that is Alaska. Bona, Blackburn, Brown Tower, Kennedy, Sanford, South Buttress, Churchill. Above them all, colossal in strength, mightiest of mountains, the great Denali. The man to match our mountains, this son of pioneers, all-time all-Alaskan, proponent of enterprise and education, mentor and friend to us all, our laurel bears. Elmer E. Rasmussen, proudly we salute you.
It's unusual to get your diploma before you've even spoken. Dr. Wood, honorable regents, distinguished guests, members of the class of 1970, faculty and friends of the university. These kind words of Dr. Wood are the kind of golden spurs that he has used always to encourage us on to serve in the great unified effort that has brought this university. And to me, they're particularly tender because they represent this fine bond of friendship that has been developed between us in the past 10 years. When I was a young boy, my father had a boat, and it was 65 foot long and a cannery tender. But the attribute I want to tell you about was that it leaked like a sieve. And every third day, it was my job to go out in the dinghy and pump it out manually. Well, on the third day, as anyone knows who's been in Skagway, the wind started to blow. And it kept blowing worse, and so I kept delaying it, and the boat got sinking lower and lower in the water. Well, there are two things that I learned from these experiences. One is how to handle a skiff in rough water. And the second is that rowing a boat is the only activity that I know of where you can make any kind of progress sitting down and looking backwards. Fortunately, the human tendency is to look forward. It's the optimistic way, and it's usually the way of progress. It's much more interesting because we get to see new things, gives new energies, new starts, kind of erases the old scores and lets you start a new ball game. Of course, there are disadvantages in looking forward. You know, particularly if it's coupled with action, you're probably going to run into objections from those who have vested interests, sometimes very hard to get rid of old viewpoints. Then, of course, you might be risking the replowing of old ground or even making mistakes. I don't think there's anything wrong in looking backward, provided that you look in the past to get some help in looking for the future. As a matter of fact, it's frequently been said that those who never read the pages of history are going to have to relive them. I think we should be proud of our origin, both as a nation, as a people, because those who have no pride in the past never have any future. But I don't think that we ever want to look back in nostalgia, because we may not have the experience of Lot's wife, but sorrow's crown of sorrows is remembering happier things. Pragmatically, the world is moving on, and we can't stop to get off, so let's dip into the future and see what is the vision of our state. In so doing, I'm going to draw a little bit upon, naturally, my own background and observations. One of the most important things, I think, took place last fall when over 100 Alaskans were assembled to have a series of organized seminars sponsored by our State Legislative Council and the Brookings Institution. And the first discussions were focused on our goals. We want to know, what kind of Alaska do we want? Well, the answer was overwhelmingly from everybody. We want the Alaskan way of life. And when we tried to define that, we talked in terms of our environment, our friendliness, our bigness, our Alaskan viewpoint. But as the discussion leaders bored in and pointed out the inevitable change coming to Alaska, we realized that the old Alaska was fast disappearing. And in short, we're a nation, we're part of the nation, socially, economically, as well as politically. As my father used to frequently say in these situations, you got to take the skim milk with the cream. And the first major change that we have to allow for is the world population explosion. I think it's well advertised that our 3 to 3.5 billion people in this world now are going to be 6 to 7 billion by the year 2000. Are 200 million in the United States going to be 300,000 by that time? And I'm assuming that the humane and rational answer of birth reduction will not have taken place by that time. So therefore, Alaska must be prepared for a tremendous increase in population coming both from in-migration from the other states and our own population expansion. And accentuating this for Alaska is the mobility of people, the fact that they are moving around in search of new jobs, homes, and so forth. Well, when they come to Alaska, where do they go? Well, they tend to go to our cities and towns, and particularly that means Fairbanks and Anchorage. And this is part of the second worldwide change, urbanization, and every Brookings lecturer emphasized that. What does it mean? Well, politically, this means a continuous reapportionment in our legislature. It means there are going to be more representatives from our towns and cities as opposed to our rural areas. When I was a boy, I used to go over the riverbed and play, or up in the hills. Well, you can't do that now, of course. So that means that from now on, we're going to have to spend more of our tax money for our social capital, our infrastructure, which means our hospitals, our schools, our museums, our roads, streets, so forth. 15 years ago, I made a speech before the third Alaska Science Conference entitled The Financial Threshold of Alaska. And Alaska, since that time, has passed over quite a few thresholds. I like the imagery of a threshold because I picture there a traveler standing with a moment of indecision, poised at this threshold, whether he's going to go forward or backward. And I feel that a threshold is an intermediate point, and it's a point of decision, and that's where Alaska stands at the present time. The people that come to Alaska want jobs. The industry that is coming here wants our raw materials. So obviously, the first stage is going to be in our extractive industries, our mining, our fisheries, our forestry, so on. But we must pass over to the second stage of processing in Alaska our raw materials here to the extent that it's economical to do that. And this is in line with another dominant worldwide change, which is industrialization. Every emerging nation tries to do that, and we're an emerging state. I've seen it in Asia, in Europe, especially Scandinavia. It's the only way that the standard of living of our people can be raised and be enjoyed by this expanding population. And I say that on this issue alone, perhaps, may be determined much of the future of Alaska. We got rid of political colonialism when we achieved statehood. But I say we're going to have economic colonialism as long as we are satisfied to just export our raw materials. And I can give you many illustrations. Shortness of time prevents me. It has to do with what we do with our round logs, our pipelines, our fact that we have to have some refinery capacity, including up here in this area, that we should have a cement plant here in order to process our own materials for our roads and so forth. I'm trying to emphasize that greater productivity is the only way that our people are going to get the benefit of personal higher incomes and lower costs. You see, if we don't do that, then all this new technology that's coming in the world is going to pass us by. Else, if we accept this challenge, we have unlimited opportunity for all of our people. Tied in with this is the fact that Alaska is becoming more interrelated with the rest of the economic world. Our products, of course, are in international demand. People are coming here. Finance and travel go beyond our own borders. In our own institution, three of our bank officers just came back from New York, where they made arrangements to tap the Eurodollar market, and where they made arrangements to utilize that New York money market to sell our acceptances that we are issuing in the finance of foreign trade. Tomorrow, Mary Louise and I are leaving for the Orient for the third conference of the Pacific Basin Economic Cooperation Committee. It's being held in Kyoto. That's a group that is made up of five nations: Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Canada, the United States. And the focus is on the common problems in a search for unity in the economic affairs of all of these nations in the Pacific community. And these discussions include not only trade and finance, aid to underdeveloped countries, our resources of the sea, and so forth. That this international business now is big business is evidenced by the estimate that in 1975, that's only 5 years from now, about 500 companies will turn out 80% of the world's goods and services. Obviously, the growth of these multinational companies are going to introduce many problems. In the April issue of Sweden Now, there's an interesting panel discussion on whether multibiz is good biz. And recognizing the potentially adverse features of this, I do believe that if we face these challenges straightforward, our governments and our people can meet them with adequate controls. And I'll give you an example, I think, of a good feature that is taking place. Much of the difficulty that we have had in the past between our Japanese and our Alaskan fishing interests is tending to be merged now with the intermingling of the Japanese and U.S. investments and marketing. So it's in view of the above, I find it very hard to understand the position of some of the Brookings lecturers, and I find even some of the Alaskans who feel that we can pass directly from this extractive stage over to some kind of a post-industrial stage. And when they talk about it, they're a little bit vague, but they tend to speak in terms of more services. Where do you have an example that is attractive under that setup? Look at the Middle East, where they have the tremendous oil reserves. No industry. Come to our own hemisphere of Venezuela, where we have an oil economy entirely, high prices and inflation, no industry. I'd like to go beyond the economic aspects to show you the importance of this. And I submit that the dependence on an extractive industry alone leads to a weakened political and social atmosphere. I remember so well back in territorial days when the canned salmon industry just dominated our social and our political climate. I'm trying to offer you the better alternative, a diversified industries that employ resident Alaskans, and they're attracted here by our hospitals and our churches and our schools, our homes, museums, arts, as well as our raw materials. I was going to say something about inflation, and I'm going to do it very quickly because of time. I'm very interested in inflation because I consider that one of those unseen thieves that reaches into every man's pockets. I've been speaking for several years on the subject that the current controls that they're attempting won't work because there's too much emphasis on the demand side, restricting the money by tightening credit and screwing up the interest instead of trying to expand the supplies. Well, unfortunately, I've been right. And this error, I hope, can be changed as we get a better appreciation of modern-day economics. But I want to call your attention to a feature of it that isn't quite as publicized as I think it should be. And that is that when the government spending is diverted more from the civilian economy over to other features, particularly defense spending, you get a terrific inflationary surge. And the reason for it is that this government spending is putting out purchasing power, of course, but it isn't producing at the same time any goods that are going to come to the marketplace. So one of the most important consequences of a settlement of the Vietnam conflict and a transfer again over from the defense aspects to the civilian is that we will then ease these inflationary pressures. We'll have more goods then. And I want to emphasize, this is true in our Alaskan government, and they must be cognizant of the impact of inflation when they're handling our oil revenue. I believe that this ties into what I've been trying to say before, that if an increase in production is necessary for a price stability, the philosophy of those who think that we should not try to expand our own goods has a kind of a cruel social consequence because it involves extra inflation then for our own Alaskans and a consequent reduced standard of living. Well, this leads me into the problems of environment and conservation. When I was in the civic government business, I read an article that said only half in jest that this generation would probably be known as the one that put a man on the moon and then perished knee-deep in garbage. Now, as a concerned citizen, I earnestly ask that you join with me and insist that our state government create an environmental act patterned after our federal act, which would create a department with cabinet status and consequent power. We need study, definition of the problem, and, of course, a program. As a layman, I offer these suggestions. The absolutely unacceptable type of environmental pollution is that kind that is cumulative and permanently deteriorative in our circulating envelope of the air and the sea. Strangely enough, biological waste that may be offensive in local situations like our garbage and our sewage can be treated and recirculated even beneficially into our environment, provided that we have the determination to do it and the will to pay the costs. But those more permanent wastes, such as plastic Clorox containers and oil spills, should be strictly controlled and, if necessary, absolutely banned. There's no excuse any longer to delay in a positive prohibition against dumping oil anywheres in the oceans of the world. I was horrified to read recently of Thor Heyerdahl's latest trip across the Atlantic and find that for 200 miles out there, they were finding this oil pollution. I think that we've got to face these problems. Other kinds of pollution kind of worry me, or monkeying with the environment. I hate to think of the Russians unilaterally and precipitously going ahead and trying to melt the Arctic sea ice. And then there's a kind of social pollution that bothers me tremendously, and that's to see this urbanization going on here in Alaska. And then we're not acquiring at the same time a proportionate increases of parks and playgrounds. That's where our boroughs have been remiss in our state. I'd like to just pause a little on the North Slope pipeline because it's a type case and I'm concerned not only nationally but our people in Alaska. I think that the risk of a funding sum that in this controversy in the pipeline construction and the objection in the name of conservation, much of it may be rooted in a fixed prejudice against any modification of our environment. A kind of a postulate being that you've got to preserve absolutely the natural status quo. But of course, nature doesn't preserve it. Nature's a great modifier. They do that, of course, by forest fires and floods, earthquakes, glaciation, and so forth. And I feel that modification in itself is not necessarily derogatory because we have the examples of cutting down trees and having fine and beautiful farms. But the spilling of oil through rupture of the pipeline must be avoided at all costs. And I believe that the concern over the permafrost in this connection is absolutely one that demands our strong support. Now, I'm not going to presume to say how it can be done, because I don't know. But the social as well as the economic consequences of bringing this oil to market is such that I'm confident that it can be done with safety and even benefit to the environment. Now, finally, I want to talk about the subject that is dearest to my heart, education and the University of Alaska. This is the 21st commencement proceedings I have attended at this university. And you can imagine the well of memories that come upon me at this time. And I treasure the privilege of having been associated with the fine men and women and the students of this university more than anything that I've ever had an opportunity to do in my life. It's broadened my outlook, and it's certainly enriched my own soul. I'm most humbly grateful for the honor of having my name associated with the library, and now to be included as an honorary graduate, well, my cup runneth over. As I view the developments of the university, I feel that its achievements are really proportional to the extent that we have adhered to a creed that we developed years ago, that all of Alaska is our campus. Every Alaskan is a potential student of this university. I think that the most noteworthy achievements that we've had in this university has been the expanding partnership of research and instruction and the community college program. Let's look into the future. I think that the most revolutionary thought in education today is that it is a continuous process right from Head Start up to adult interest courses. Now, this means a lot more than just having the courses decentralized and readily available and also giving courses that the students are interested in, important as this may be. What it really means, I think, is a complete reorientation in our whole attitude towards higher education. And I believe that the most challenging field for university self-evaluation at the present time is the traditional four-year undergraduate courses. The option of taking the first 2 years at the community college should be a real one. The age for entrance and the time for attendance should be more flexible. We should view the dropout and subsequent return as an experience of the real world, intervening at some time during the formal education of the student and actually beneficial to that individual's long-term development. The choice of electives should be liberalized. Now, the accrediting agencies may not go along with me on this, but Assuming that every course that is taught is of quality level, I believe that a multiplicity of course certifications may lead to a more intense and meaningful scholarship than just laying each student on the Procrustean bed of baccalaureate conformity. You know, this could even so whet the student's appetite for knowledge that he never stops learning. The community college program is an example of this. And what I'm advocating here, because by its very flexibility, its economy in operation, being close to home, it's really blazing a new trail in higher education. Traveling university is another excellent program. Greater interchange of students and faculty between institutions is inevitable with the educational consequences of cooperation. Leadership in and by our universities is needed. Wouldn't we all be much better off today if we really had the answers to the Arctic environment that we're searching desperately for at the present time? And I feel that here is the time that this university can take the lead as a kind of a catalyst, call a summit meeting of university representatives from the different universities here and say in Canada, of our governments and even our industries, to find out what is the true nature of our Arctic environment. And now, I have a confession to make. They say confessions are good for the soul, but bad for the reputation. In the 20 previous commencements that I have attended, I've heard many excellent speakers, much better than the one you've been hearing now. And I can't remember a word they said. So I have little confidence that you will remember any particular words of mine. But I do remember the speakers' attitudes and their spirits. Their music was greater than their words, and so hopefully you will remember that I may leave with you a feeling about me, if not my particular words. In urging that you look forward, I'm not advocating that you try to become prophets and that your ability is determined by your accuracy in prophecy. Leave that to the Rand boys and the think tanks who like to come up with these surprise-free prognostications. I mean that we want to adopt that confident forward look of problem solvers that can meet any situation, no matter how it may arise. And you know, if you look forward, you only need your armor in front. You know, actually, our accumulated wisdom isn't of much value in penetrating the mysteries of the future. When I was in college, I had a course in philosophy, and I came across these words of Satayana. I've said it to myself many a time. Our knowledge is a torch of smoky pine that dimly lights our path one step ahead. Above all, share with me the optimistic outlook. Not only are optimists better than pessimists, but you know, even the successful pessimist is shunned because he goes around kind of like a blotter absorbing other people's enthusiasm. I don't think that you can run a bank or have a successful marriage without honest emotion. Then finally, when you run out of your own confidence support, we continue by using the path of religious conviction. Members of the class of 1970, keep true to the dreams of thy youth. It's a fascinating world. Go through it strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield.
Dr. Earl H. Beistlein, acting for Dr. Donald Theophilus, academic vice president, will present the candidates for the associate and baccalaureate degrees. You have your own script, right?
Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President.
Will the candidates for the associate degrees and the baccalaureate degrees please rise? President Wood, it is my pleasure to present at the 48th commencement of the University of Alaska these candidates for the associate degrees and baccalaureate degrees in the various curricula. The registrar has certified that they have fulfilled all academic requirements for their degrees. The faculty of the college concerned has recommended that they now receive their diplomas.
Mr. President, as president of the University of Alaska, I'm pleased to present these candidates for associate and baccalaureate degrees in their respective departments as presented in the official program of this occasion. By virtue of the authority vested in me as President of the Board of Regents under the Constitution of the State of Alaska, and upon the recommendation of the President of the University and the faculty, I confer upon you the associate and baccalaureate degrees to which you are entitled with all the rights, privileges, and honors pertaining thereto.
The candidates may be seated. Candidates for the associate degrees and the baccalaureate degrees will be called forward by the deans of their respective colleges. As the candidates receive their diplomas, we request that the audience withhold applause until the last degree is conferred from each college. Candidates for the College of Arts and Letters will be called forward by Dean Charles Kime.
Will the candidates from the College of Arts and Letters please rise and come forward? Sunday Rochelle McQueen, Associate in Arts, Liberal Arts. Patricia Evans Olson, Associate in Arts, Liberal Arts. Roscoe Smith Carnahan, Bachelor of Arts, Art. Virginia Mae Klutz, Bachelor of Music. Philip Craig Corey, Bachelor of Music, Magna Cum Laude. Florence Kuhlman Haig, Bachelor of Music. Richard Francis Harnoy, Bachelor of Arts, Art and Journalism. Gerald Mark Hughes, Bachelor of Music. Philip Kelly, Bachelor of Arts, Speech. Dorothy Benton Lewis, Bachelor of Arts, Speech. Scott Betts Lall, Bachelor of Arts, Speech. Colleen Dalton McCarthy, Bachelor of Arts, English. Bobby Jean Mitchell, Bachelor of Arts, Philosophy. Mary Elaine Short, Bachelor of Arts, Speech. Harriet Dorothy Gazuski-Smith, Bachelor of Arts, French. John Patrick Tilborg, Bachelor of Arts, English. Dorothy Patricia West, Bachelor of Arts, Art.
The candidates from the College of Behavioral Sciences and Education will be called forward by Dean Wendell W. Wolfe.
Will the candidates from the College of Behavioral Sciences and Education please rise and come forward? Catherine Elizabeth Adams, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. John Samuel Armstrong, Jr., Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Glenn H. Bacon, Bachelor of Science, Anthropology. Lawrence Eddie Buck, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Marilee Ann Calvin, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Selwyn G. Carroll, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Linda Jean Cook, Bachelor of Science, Home Economics. Thomas Diamantes, Jr., Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Edward James Dixon, Jr., Bachelor of Arts, Anthropology. Mary Ann Douglas, Bachelor of Arts, Anthropology. Casella Marie Dykema, Bachelor of Arts, Anthropology. Carol Toranian Ernst, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Francis Patrick Fitzgerald, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Stephen James Gage, Bachelor of Arts, Sociology. Charles Hayden Gallagher, Bachelor of Arts, Anthropology and Geography. Beverly Jean Brown Gillespie, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. George Rawl Harbison, Jr., Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Anita Harry, Bachelor of Education, Secondary, cum laude. James Costello Hayes, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Nancy Elaine Hidden, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Charles Edgar Holmes, Bachelor of Arts, Anthropology. Percy William House, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Gordon Leslie Jackson, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Robert Dean Kendall, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Janet M. Krisnick, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Monine Ellison Lindholm, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Susan Irwin McHenry, Bachelor of Arts, Psychology, cum laude. Karen Joyce McIntyre, Bachelor of Science, Home Economics. Richard Arthur Menegali, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Gregory C. Mitchell, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Melissa Ruth Wells Muskowitz, Bachelor of Science, Home Economics. Kathleen Irene Moore Nelson, Bachelor of Arts, Sociology. Ramona Louise Newton, Bachelor of Science, Home Economics. Marilyn Elaine Johnson Patterson, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Wanda Lee Pike, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Marie Prokopioff, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Eunice S. Kenyon Reed, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Susan Jane Richmond Richardson, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Daniel James Rohde, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Miko Satake, Bachelor of Education, Bachelor of Science, Home Economics. Judith K. Silko, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Anna L. Stickman, Bachelor of Arts, Psychology. Emerson Leroy Stocks, Jr., Bachelor of Science, Psychology. Richard Allen Tarkanian, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Lynn Valray Williams, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Bobby Jean Stevens Woods, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Charlene M. Yakov, Bachelor of Arts, Office Administration and Psychology.
Candidates from the College of Biological Sciences and Renewable Resources will be called forward by Dean Bryna Kessel.
Will the candidates from the College of Biological Sciences and Renewable Resources please rise and come forward? Judith Gail Anderson Brown, Bachelor of Science, Biological Sciences. James R. Clay, Bachelor of Science, Fisheries Biology. Patrick Kozloff, Bachelor of Science, Wildlife Management. William Davis McGee, Bachelor of Science, Biological Sciences. Michael William Mazaras, Bachelor of Science, Biological Sciences. Judith Marie Oskalkoff, Bachelor of Science, Biological Sciences. Gary A. Pierce, Bachelor of Science, Fisheries Biology. Patrick A. Rice, Bachelor of Science, Biological Sciences. Marvin Basil Robertson, Bachelor of Science, Biological Sciences. Marlene Rochelle Schwartz, Bachelor of Science, Biological Sciences. Ron Marvin Warbelow, Bachelor of Science, Biological Science. James Clifford Widener, Bachelor of Science, Wildlife Management. Patrick Paul Wright, Bachelor of Science, Biological Sciences.
Candidates from the College of Business, Economics, and Government will be called forward by Dean Robert L. Smith.
Will the candidates from the College of Business, Economics, and Government please rise and come forward?
Mary Catherine Ashton, Bachelor's of Business Administration Management. Helen Catherine Atkinson, Bachelor of Arts, Business Education. Condon Ernest Blacker, Bachelor of Business Administration Management. Juan Randall Boyd, Bachelor of Arts, Political Science. Thomas Frederick Carberry, Bachelor of Business Administration Management. Curtis Charles Klassen, Bachelor of Business Administration Management. Sherry Leigh Davids, Bachelor of Arts, Business Education. Dennis Charles Freeman, Bachelor of Business Administration, Finance. John Everett Hanchett, Bachelor of Business Administration, Accounting. Robert Warren James, Bachelor of Business Administration, Management. Joseph David J., Bachelor of Business Administration, Finance. Raymond Marshall Koval, Bachelor of Business Administration, Management. Heather Campbell McFarlane, Bachelor of Arts, History. James Frederick Miller, Bachelor of Business Administration, Management. Richard Lawrence Millison, Bachelor of Business Administration, Accounting. David Paul Newell, Bachelor of Arts, Economics. Gary Allen Norgard, Bachelor of Business Administration, Management. John Robert Penman, Jr., Bachelor of Business Administration, Management. David Richard Stipe, Bachelor of Business Administration, Management. Randall Clayton Super, Bachelor of Business Administration, Management. Richard Lee Thomas, Bachelor of Business Administration, Finance. Donathan Alexander Wilson IV, Bachelor of Business Administration, Management. Robert Frazier Yeoman, Bachelor of Business Administration, Marketing.
Candidates from the College of Earth Science and Mineral Industry will be called forward by Dean Earl Beistlein.
Will the candidates from the College of Earth Sciences and Mineral Industry please rise and come forward. Francis Patrick Fitzgerald, Geography, Bachelor of Science. James Scott Fredenhagen, Bachelor of Science, Geology. Martha Jean Hope Gilmore, Bachelor of Science, General Science, Major Geology. Douglas Richard Pope, Bachelor of Science, Geography. James Allen Waite, Bachelor of Science, Geology.
John Esten Wood, Bachelor of Science, Mining Engineering.
Candidates from the College of Mathematics, Physical Science, and Engineering will be called forward by Dean Charles E. Belke.
Will the candidates for degrees from the College of Mathematics, Physical Sciences, and Engineering please rise and come forward to receive your diplomas? Robert E. Arnold, Associate in Electronics Technology. Paul Charles Barth, Associate in Electronics Technology. Gene Curtis Brooks, Associate in Electronics Technology. Pamela June Buckway, Associate in Electronics Technology. Jerry Wayne Crook, Associate in Electronics Technology. Harry Dean Curran, Associate in Electronics Technology. Kathleen Mary Driscoll, Associate in Electronics Technology. Ronald Raymond Ernst, Associate in Electronics Technology. John William Foster, Associate in Electronics Technology, cum laude. Arnold V. Garner, Associate in Electronics Technology. Lawrence Leroy Inga, Associate in Electronics Technology. Gerard Lee, Associate in Electronics Technology. Theodore Francis Monroe, Associate in Electronics Technology. Robert D. Morton, Associate in Electronics Technology. Ferdinand Sharp, Associate in Electronics Technology. Clarence D. Smith III, Associate in Electronics Technology. Joe H. Strauss, Associate in Electronics Technology. Hubert Denzel Wogamuth, Associate in Electronics Technology. C. Keith Andre, Bachelor of Science, Engineering Science, Electrical Engineering, cum laude. Robert P. Britch, Bachelor of Science, Civil Engineering. Chai Yung Chang, Bachelor of Science, Engineering Science, Electrical Engineering. William Jeffrey Conyers, Bachelor of Science, Civil Engineering. William Paul Deming, Bachelor of Science, Mechanical Engineering. John Edward Dick, Bachelor of Science, Civil Engineering. Catherine Louise Covacini Endicott, Bachelor of Science, Chemistry, cum laude. Donald Linkletter Franklin, Bachelor of Science, Civil Engineering. Warren William Hansen, Bachelor of Science, Civil Engineering, cum laude. Frederick Carl Hefflinger, Bachelor of Science, Civil Engineering. Eric Gordon Johnson, Bachelor of Science, Civil Engineering. Gerald Allen Cabell, Bachelor of Science, Mathematics. John Deverick Martin, Bachelor of Science, Mathematics. Richard Lewis Odsather, Bachelor of Science, Civil Engineering. John Leland Orr, Bachelor of Science, Mathematics. Michael Anthony Ching-Yun Pao, Bachelor of Science, Engineering Science, Electrical Engineering. David Roland Reger, Bachelor of Science, Mathematics. John Franklin Rezik, Bachelor of Science, Engineering Science, Civil Engineering. Stanley M. Rogers, Bachelor of Science, Engineering Science, Electrical Engineering. Wolf Theodore Rossman, Bachelor of Arts, Mathematics, summa cum laude, the first in the history of the university. It's a tough one to follow, isn't it? James Stephen Strandberg, Bachelor of Science, Engineering Science, Mechanical Engineering. William Frederick Straub, Bachelor of Science, Engineering Science, Electrical Engineering. Philip John Thurman, Bachelor of Science, Engineering Science, Electrical Engineering. Robert Welburn Thompson, Bachelor of Science, Engineering Science, Electrical Engineering. Michael Robert Tooley, Bachelor of Science, Engineering Science, Mechanical Engineering. Charles Coburn Van Gunten, Bachelor of Science, Engineering Science, Mechanical Engineering. Jimmy D. Walker, Bachelor of Science, Engineering Science, Mechanical Engineering. Mary Alice Gatskiewicz Woods, Bachelor of Science, Mathematics, cum laude.
Candidates from the South Central Regional Center will be called forward by Dr. Louis E. Haynes, Provost of the South Central Regional Center.
Will the candidates from the South Central Regional Center in Anchorage please rise and come forward? Richard Lee Abelgate, Bachelor of Business Administration, Management. Eugene Stewart Ashley, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Nancy Hunt Brandt Erickson, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. James J. Carney, Bachelor of Business Administration, Management. Sylvia Marie Cavalier Collin, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Claire J. Fox, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. John Lee Jensen, Bachelor of Business Administration, Management. Carl E. Luxinger, Bachelor of Business Administration, Marketing. Kenneth Allen McGee, Bachelor of Business Administration, Marketing. Leslie B. Neville, Bachelor of Business Administration, Management. Donna Leah Nicholson, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Joseph Stephen O'Connell, Bachelor of Business Administration, Finance. Mary Jane Duncan Sager, Bachelor of Education, Elementary, magna cum laude. Guadalupe Segura, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Roy E. Smith, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Gladys Hill Somerville, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Phyllis Audrey Stickney, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. James Edward Sutherland, Bachelor of Arts, Mathematics. John James Troutner, Bachelor of Business Administration, Management. Larry Dean Turbush, Bachelor of Arts, History. Muriel E. Wadham, Bachelor of Education, Elementary. Ernest Willard Williams, Bachelor of Education, Secondary. Howard Franklin Willis, Bachelor of Business Administration, Marketing. Stanley J. Zabarak, Jr., Bachelor of Arts, Psychology and Sociology.